Personal injury of any sort, it's a big deal. And injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is dedicated to ensuring you get the care you need and get your life back on track. So when you're injured, make one phone call to David Femininio, 855-65-CRASH, or go to that website, GetDavidGetPaid.com. Get your life back on track. GetDavidGetPaid.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome one and all on a Monday. Great to have everybody with us. I'm sorry that my Derby picks ran second and third. You don't get a prize for that. But this man next to me,
yes, he
nailed it.
Yes!
Rico also, with his bet on sovereignty, supports human rights violations.
So congratulations. I love horse racing now.
I'm glad. That's right. You delighted in what a 10-to-1 shot can do for you.
I did! I'm like, this is that excitement that you always speak of.
Yes. Welcome.
Oh my goodness. The only thing missing was I should have put on a hat and a blazer and been out.
Yeah, or the Sheikh's daughter. Either way, so we'll just move it along. I'm sorry. I just can't. Can't do it with Godolphin.
He's a bad owner?
Just Google. Or how about this? Ask Tirico about the cut-in he had to do a couple of years ago. Well, we do want to point out there are accusations. He made his daughter disappear. Like, it was the most awkward thing in the world. I know, but 10-to-1. Congratulations.
It was 10-to-1.
So
I didn't think journalism would win.
Let's get to the some of the business of the day, and look, we have a lot of cleanup to do. So look, you guys have a willful choice you can make. All right, if you think this is a Sparty radio, then get bent, go do whatever you want. The reality is, I don't take a paycheck from my school, so I'm just going to shoot you straight like I have the whole way through. Remember the part where I said to you, "Go ahead, play your games, buy your T-shirt, take your dad, enjoy it. You will not like everything that's after this." Well, we're in the after phase. But the problem I have is so many things get misreported and misrepresented, or key details get left out. I just feel like a janitor. I feel like I need a mop and a bucket. Like, you and I talked about this. I talked to Cookies, and I'm like, well, Jim, you realize Sharon Moore was up for a level 2. This has nothing to do with the 6 level 1s. The level 2 was him destroying evidence, him deleting the text. You know, because when texts are innocuous, you always delete them.
Right.
Right?
Happy birthday. Delete.
So the problem is, okay, they're self-imposing a 2-game ban. Personally, Rico, I feel like people are, like, conflating the issue or acting like, well, now the NCAA will accept it. The negotiating time is long past. The hearing for the Committee on Infractions is June 6th and 7th now. Mm-hmm. In a 24-hour span, you had Santa Ono leave, your football coach gets another suspension, and the COI gets announced as June 6th and 7th. I have no idea. I've said this from the beginning. I have no idea what the NCAA will do. I'm not going to live in a world of should. Should is Michigan should be strapped to an atom bomb and detonated in the middle of the Pacific.
But
it's not happening.
But I think you missed the important part.
Tell me.
Self-imposed 2-game suspension, and we're going to pick the 2 games.
Yeah. I know Spartan fans want me to get angry about that. No, I can't. I actually laugh.
And that's what it's not an anger thing. It's that is so ballsy.
It's Michigan.
That is Abdul Carter saying, can I have 56?
And then he goes, how about 11? Phil Simms. I mean, but look, all I can tell you is this is only a piece of the bigger picture, the six level ones. So if the NCAA gives Sherrone as a repeat offender a show cause, you could be suspended for no games, but you can't coach in college. So I just don't know what to tell you. To me, it's too little too late. I don't think the NCAA is going to look at this and be like, oh, okay, Michigan took their medicine. That's like a kid breaking curfew, coming home, and mom and dad say, you're grounded, you can't have the car tomorrow night. And the kid goes, yeah, but tomorrow night's New Year's Eve. How about January 7th? I got an open calendar.
And it's raining.
Yes,
it'd be snowing.
So the NCAA doesn't have to accept this. We're so far, because here's the thing. I want to just, Rico, tell me if I'm wrong on this. Because this is the one thing I feel like many, not all, I don't want to paint all Michigan fans badly. They do a good enough job themselves. But the things that are established in all of this, right, that the NCAA has established, or what they consider, what, aggravating factors? I mean, for one, the university knew. They had enough direct knowledge. They could have put a stop to it, but they didn't self-report when it really matters.
Right?
Okay, that's one. Two, was anyone in the football program cooperative? No. Remember when they came to campus and got ghosted?
They all left.
Remember all the written requests they didn't respond to? Then you had one coach, who's since been fired, it's hard to keep up, basically tell players and others, don't talk. It's just all of it. Okay, so then you have the written request thing. Bottom line, your AD has defied this from the start. Your school has. And when you look at it, Rico, ultimately, this is a nothing burger to me. This is something that Michigan is trying to do so they can play the victim on the back end and say, well, the NCAA is a bunch of meanies. And I have no idea the scope. I don't get into the should. From the beginning of this, I said it'll never be what I want. So I'm rolling with it.
Right.
But no, I do think the NCAA is going to hit them. And I don't think self-imposing on May 5th, after you had over a year to do this, I don't think it carries weight.
When the text messages first came out, you could have said, you know what, inappropriate. I'm going to go ahead and suspend myself for two games. And I think you're right. At that point, NCAA would have said, all right, we finally got some adults here. We got some people who are taking accountability. But instead, we heard it was no big deal, some birthday text messages, and I delete all of my stuff. And
the problem I have with all that, though, is have the Michigan media been right about anything?
No.
Anything at all. Like, if we're Sparty Radio, fine. I don't get paid by that institution, and I'm not interested in having friends at either. Have they been right about anything?
The only time they're right is when they say nothing.
Okay,
because at least they can say, oh, well, we didn't lie. Well, you didn't say anything.
Here's the other problem. When Michigan put out their, you know, like when they put out their statement, they admitted they cheated, basically. They said it. Mm-hmm. They admitted what they. So, guys, I'm just not going to overreact to it today. There's no screaming and yelling for me. I'm also not going to sit here and tell you, well, that'll do. It's not even in the realm of the bigger picture of all of this. If Michigan self-imposed two games for a grade two, how do you answer to the program at large being up on six level ones? There's a very good chance. I can't say it factually. I'm just saying there's a chance Sherrone's done. I hate to tell you that, but like, I don't think that's beyond the pale when a guy's a repeat offender. He's already been suspended twice, once for the recruiting scandal. Keep up with me. You need kind of scandal monopoly right here. So he was once with the recruiting, once with the text messages. That's before we even get to what happens to the program at large. You've got guys who went to the NFL that are given years, plural, show causes that effectively ends their soft landing. No, I don't think the two games is going to play. And if it does, then it just, again, I think the sport's a joke anyways. But go ahead, because I know you want to take it a different direction.
No, Mike, here's the thing. I think they're trying to do this to be preemptive and say, okay, we're willing to take our punishment knowing that they're getting ready to meet in June, the 6th and 7th. So what if we just give you all of this now? Would you please just let this go away? And I will say this. If the NCAA allows Michigan to essentially get away with this with a slap on the wrist, what it's going to do is something that I think is going to be worse than the transfer portal, worse than NIL. Because now what you have said is just cheat. And not just cheat, blatantly cheat. Out in the open. Do whatever you want. Set aside about $4 million to pay a fine. And just do whatever. Literally, you could... You know what? Kid runs for a touchdown for another team. You could have an agent saying, hey, now keep running all the way to East Lansing or keep running all the way to Columbus. We'll pay you this. Wow, did you see that sign? Yeah, because it doesn't matter. You can outright cheat. If the NCAA does not really do something with this, it's going to set the new table of, well, anything goes. You could do whatever because they did whatever. I mean, as far as, you know, recruiting and all of the different stuff and all the smoke that is just burning in Ann Arbor, but you keep telling me there's no fire, but yet and still smoke everywhere. President leaving after having a contract to 2033. Yeah, I think it's about time for me to go. After 3 years? Yeah. You know what? Go Gators. Something's going on there. Something is wrong there. Look, and for this, and to do this whole two game right before, and then this... You still aren't even sincere with this because it's the audacity. I'm going to pick the two games.
He's a runaway train. I'll be back at four. I'm just letting him roll. I'm not getting in the way of this. The guy picked the 10-1 shot in the Derby. He's feeling himself. He's bricked up. No, I mean, the Ono thing, look, I understand what's being put out there as well. It's political and how he handled Gaza. And it's like, or hear me out. The guy just got a massive raise in October, and you're right. Contractor 2032 might be the billion-dollar lawsuit you're staring down because your former offensive coordinator was hacking the database and medical records and photos and the rest, with your football program being embroiled in a multitude of scandals. And no one in their right mind wants that Florida job. You can Google why. Like, I'm not doing your homework for you.
He is the only person.
Correct.
It literally just has to be rubber
stamped. Because no one wants it. No one would leave. There's me saying something nice. No one would leave U of M for Florida of their right mind. Unless they had some wild custody battle and their wife and kid moved to Florida. Nobody would take that job. I mean, Michigan's endowment is $20 billion. Florida's is $3 billion. And how you get to run Florida versus how you get to run Michigan, different. The point I'm making is, I won't overreact to this. I know where you're headed with it. I have no faith in the NCAA, but I just feel like, yeah, anyone who wants to tell me Sharon with the two games and that takes care, you're not paying attention. You're not living in reality. And just because you self-impose it, the NCAA doesn't have to listen to it. Yeah. It begs the biggest question, which is why did Michigan not lay on the sword last year knowing they were going to suck and just be done with it? And here's the other thing. You brought up the suspended for game 3 and 4. You're making a 2-week story a 4-week story. It just, none of that adds up to me. Mm-mm. You've admitted you cheated, so you can take the medicine or not. You can't be half pregnant.
Oh, well, no, it's so that Sharon could go up against his alma mater in Oklahoma.
Who effing cares?
I'm with you. Or it's your freshman quarterback's first road game, and you probably want to be there for that.
248-539-9797. God, you do what you want with it, guys. There's no yelling and screaming, and you know my faith quotient in the NCAA or the sport is null. It's just it, but I'm also not going to come on the air and lie to you. Like, come on. So what do you think happens? Do you wish Michigan would lay on the sword? What?
Why not just go week 10 and 12 and just skip the Purdue and Northwestern?
It's not going
to
hold
water. With the week in between to really think about it.
Rico, it won't hold water. If anything, doesn't that just inflame the NCAA more?
It does. But the sad reality is I think they thought they were doing themselves a service. And hey, we'll take care of this.
It's like, you know, the service could have been, you could have just thrown Sharon out with the bathwater last year and maybe shown real sacrifice, and this would be done, I think. But you didn't want to negotiate, so don't play like you do now. Also, too, at some point, your own school admitted they cheated. You kind of got to put the sword away and just go, all right, what are we doing? We'll see. June 6th and 7th will be interesting, I guess. Go ahead, Rico. We'll knock a few calls. We're certainly not doing this all day, but we wanted to at least just kind of give you the thoughts, and away we go.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're just tuning in, Cliff Notes. It's real simple. Wings got effed in the lottery again, and I think it's a sign from the hockey gods. It's time for Steve to not be Ray Liotta from the end of Hannibal and to be the Steve we hired. Make a bold move, weaponize the 13th pick. No one's interested in drafting Travis McDougal from Batavia Community College, who won't be up here till 2030. You must trade this pick. You must go get players who can help you. End. Argue it. And yes, the lottery's stupid. And yes, the Wings have had the second worst luck to the Ottawa Senators in said lottery. But guess what? Even if you ended up with the top pick, there's nobody up there who's going to be ready day one. What, Bob Schaefer or whatever this kid's name is who's a defenseman? That ain't Rasmus Dahlin. That ain't Victor Hedman.
Also, you said the Ottawa Senators, a playoff team, Ottawa Senators.
Oh, right, but don't you know if you don't get the number one pick, you it's just impossible. Whine like a bitch and you can't rebuild?
You might as well just give up if you
right.
don't get the number
Steve Botts.
So, I agree with you.
What do you want to ask me?
The question is, I know what you want. Do you think deep down this is what Steve is going to do?
Yes, because okay. I can't live in a world where he doesn't, because otherwise he should be fired. There is no excuse for any gradual or pragmatic approach this summer. It has to be all in to make a seismic move. Look, Washington just missed out last year. They were one of the top teams in the East. You must have that kind of improvement. No move I'm asking him to make makes them a wild card. F that. I want something bolder, more seismic, a paradigm shift.
Something to go for.
And you know what I don't want? I don't want him down at the little pizza puff factory telling me, oh, those moves are really difficult. Then I'll find someone willing to make those moves.
Once again, Steven, that is what the money is for. I'm not even trying to be funny when I say that's what the money's for anymore, because literally that is what the money's for. I know it's hard to be a GM in this league. There's only 32 jobs and not everybody's good at it. But dude, you had this resume in Tampa that we were all sold. You didn't win a cup in Tampa. I know that, Evan. But, that is what the money is for.
Right. It's not a community service project. So I'd like to hear from you that now you know the Wings didn't move up in the lottery. They moved down. He's got to trade that pick and bring you a player. Right? 248-539-9797. David, ticket text. We'll start there. We'll get to the callers in a second.
Eiserman needs to get off his thumbs and improve this team, or he needs to leave. That is a fan in Belleville.
Now, what's wrong with that opinion?
Nothing.
So that man doesn't deserve to be called casual, or he doesn't know puck, right?
No.
If you're not willing to get bold and move this thing forward, why are you here? You are wasting people's time and
money.
Money.
That's what the money's for.
Right. You give me ideas. All right, let's go. David.
Unless something motivates Captain Daydreamer, it's over. I don't care about the Red Wings, and I don't like how I feel about it. He needs to go. That is from Tom.
Yeah, I think that press conference was a very bad look because I think the Steve bots were waiting for him to say something so profound that you could rally behind it, and it was, wait, that's all you had to say? That's not encouraging whatsoever.
Mikey Rico, ex-Stevebot here. You're spot on. Great point. Thank you for making me less pissed off. Time for Yzerman to actually make a real move and sign several good names.
That guess what? Everybody outside of a Mo Sider or a Lucas Raymond should be available. It doesn't mean you do it. Oh, but you can't trade Dylan. He's from Westland. F you. I don't care. Every player, there should be a conversation around a conference table. And it doesn't mean you make the move. But I'm not trading Lucas Raymond and I'm not trading Mo. Everybody else is up for grabs.
The only two are untouchable. Everybody else.
That's how I view it.
Because, see, I would look at it as, you know what? Nobody's untouchable.
Okay, that's fine. I'm trying to be fair.
No, I'm trying to win. And it's like, okay, if you can get that sweetheart deal and kind of jumpstart this team, okay.
Thank you, Mike. Trade that pick and get someone that can help get this Iser scam back on the rails. Enough is enough.
You want your top 10 trade targets as of May 5th, according to Bleacher Report? I'll give them, Kenny. Do you want to argue? I'll let Kenny screen this call first. We'll do those at 2:30. I've got 10 names. Kenny can go thumbs up, thumbs down. Right now we go to Harrison to lead off, 97.1. Harrison, what's going on, buddy?
I went to the driving range last night because during the lottery because I was like, I don't want to watch the lottery. It's going to make me mad. I know it's going to happen. So I'm hitting balls, nice and calm. I see my phone light up. I look down. And I see 13. And I hit a ball 400 miles an hour, 2 feet in front of me into the ground. I was like, I'm done. Wait. So I was mad about the lottery for a second. Then my next thought is, okay, we got to trade the pick. Let's see what Red Wings fans are doing online. I don't know why I made that mistake.
Oh, no.
I open up Reddit, and I see someone going off about, we got to pick Ratty Mertka. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, what in the Almandine Muhammad are people talking about? We want to pick a defenseman that's 6'5", can't skate, and is at least 4 years away from playing in the NHL.
Yeah, that'll
and these are
do
real
it.
Red Wings fans.
That'll
and
do
there
it.
There are a lot of them. There are a lot of these people out there, and I don't know how we share the oxygen with them, Mike.
No, you know what the best part of those people is? Here's the best part. They're actually stupid, but they think they're the smartest people out there and that they get these bonus Steve points that they're going to redeem for Steve's friendship at some point. Yeah, you're right. Let's go draft a kid that's 5 years away. That'll turn this whole effing thing around.
Yeah, I don't know. I about lost it, and my golf game is now gone.
It's
and
over.
If he doesn't make a trade,
if he doesn't make a trade this summer, whether it's using the draft pick or not, but if he doesn't make a bold trade, what is the point of him being here?
There isn't one.
I mean, that kind of just says it, doesn't it?
No, Rico? I mean you're right because I think the last two summers have been that okay. Wait until draft. There's going to be a draft day trade. They're going to make a big splash. They're going to do something. And everybody was holding their breath, waiting. And each time, nothing happened. So I think the goodwill is gone. And as I said, I do think that a lot of Steve bots were so disenfranchised with that last press conference that he held. You're sitting there wondering, kind of like, well, Steve, what do you do here?
That's hello.
Yeah.
Go to Mike, 97.1. Mikey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Mike. What's on your mind?
Unfortunately, I'm similar to the last caller in that I don't think the Red Wings are going to do anything, and they're just going to draft someone and wait it out. Like, I'm a big hockey guy. My brother played college hockey. Like, last night, like, I don't think Yzerman believes in his own system. Like, Sebastian Kosa, game two of the AHL playoffs, they don't start him. They start Jack Campbell. And they looked awful. And it's just like, I don't think this guy has... I'm just so frustrated because I don't think he has any pressure on him. And I don't feel like he has any pressure on him. Like, in the press conference, when he's like, oh yeah, Antti Tuomisto's like, he needs to gain an extra step. It's like, dude, we drafted him 5 years ago. He should have been developing the extra step by now. And I just...
Some of these prospects, by the time you call them up, they're going to look like John Goodman when they closed out the Connors.
I know. And other players have already passed them. Like, I'm just... It's so frustrating for me. And I just...
If there's
no pressure, he's not going to rush his process. And you know what, Mike? Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Like, I was reading comments because, like, you know, the Dallas Stars made this great comeback.
Yeah.
And Jim Neal goes up there and he's like, hey, I could have 10 shots at this draft. I'm never drafting anyone as good as Mikko Rantanen. And I'm, like, trying to picture myself seeing Eisenman say that. And I just don't.
But that's,
I don't. And it's just...
Mike, honestly, you got to be at a point where you go, Jim Neal is just a hell of a lot better than Steve Eisenman. And that's a tough pill to swallow. But Dallas never got the number one pick in the draft. You know, and Dallas right now is your Stanley Cup favorite.
I know. And, like, I see them draft, like, Logan Stankoven. He was a second-round draft pick. The Wings could have had him. He was the main piece of the Mikko Rantanen trade. I think Eisenman's going to – I don't think he's looking to improve. I think he keeps drafting the same players. Like, you talk about, you know, college football players drafting three times. Well, the Red Wings second-round pick, Brady Cleveland, draft just transferred a third time in college, which is unheard of in college hockey.
And Mike, here's the other thing. Like, for all these people who are like, well, you know, Kosa just, he needs more seasoning. Didn't he get benched last night?
He didn't start.
But Mike, this is my point. Start. Like, how long do we got to wait for Kosa before we start to question what he is? And forget about anyone who mentions Trey Augustine, forget it. He's going to be back in East Lansing this year. Years, plural, away. It's just, oh, but hey, can't block Kosa. So we got to continue eating the gruel.
Got Mrazek.
Steve ought to open a food truck and call it Mastagoli, because it's just a different version of the Italian slop that's not even real, Mastacholi. Like the stuff Costa grew up eating. Mm. Mastacholi. Mastagoli. A Steve Eiserman food truck. It's just slop between the pipes. That's what it is. It's the truth. For years, we've been told we can't block these kids, yet they're never here. You forcibly traded for Peter Mrazek, Mastagoli.
Though I guess the worst part was they weren't bad enough to be eliminated, so you couldn't bring Kosa up because they were already done, because they had a mathematical chance.
If he's getting benched for the Griffins, is he even that good?
Okay, but David, at the time, we didn't know that. At the time, I'm thinking, okay, final 10 games of the year, you know what? Here's the best time to play him. Kid, let's see what you got. They didn't.
Mastagoli. Let's get to the people next. Okay. 75 and sunny, and yet I walked into Rico and Evan and David all being in a bad mood. All bummed out about Trajan Langdon. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to test their level of religious knowledge later with a papal conclave blitz. It's going to be exciting. Kenny's going to be dressed as a cardinal. We're really going to get into it. And I do have a hypothetical for you at 3 o'clock, and it is about college football. And I'll explain it. And I'm basically going to roll a hand grenade into the bedroom and shut the door behind me. And whatever happens, happens. But we want to start with this. You and Evan and David are all like-minded. You're all bummed out. Trajan Langdon spoke. And while the audio's terrible, we can't play it. It's, guys, it would be a waste of your time as a listener. But I'll outline some of the things that are in here. But I want you to really kind of take the lead on this, because you're convinced of something, and maybe I don't want to be convinced, so I'm, you know, denying reality. But basically he said the following. If you're going to bring an all-star in, it's going to come through trade, not free agency. TBD on Ivy and Dern extensions. No idea who the second leading scorer would be next year. He thinks that's a good thing. Didn't mention Ivy at first. Kind of made you guys question Ivy's role. But it's led you to the following. You believe Trajan's plan, or at least from what he said today, is WBBT.
Yep.
Bring the band back together.
Yep, Mike. Just like every NBA player, when any call happens, does this. Review it. We're going to run this back. They're going to run back this team. He came out there and he was just talking. He didn't say specifically that he was, but it was the things that I was hearing what he wasn't saying. And it was, you know what? For this offseason, Ausar Thompson won't have blood clots. So he'll actually get to work out with the team. And Ron Holland, he's going to come back with the team and practice this summer. And whether it's going to be in some of those summer league games or what, but he's going to be working with the team. Cade Cunningham now knows what it feels like to train. And because he's experienced the playoffs, he knows what it takes to win. So now he's not going to be out there training to perform well in game number 45, but he's trying to go to the second round and beyond. He just talked as if a person, he just kept naming off all the key pieces to the team and how over the summer it's going to get better, which led me to thinking he's just going to keep this thing together. And I think he's open to a trade if a trade is there, but I don't think that he's going to be demanding a trade. If somebody calls and offers him a deal and he says, okay, you know, if the Pelicans say, hey, Zion, we want to try to move him, what can we do? I think he would join in that conversation. But I think that call comes from New Orleans. I don't think that call comes from Detroit. I think he's happy with what he has here. And he thinks that if we just get another summer together with the same players, we could get better results. He complimented the fans during the playoffs, and I think he's going to try to bring that team back. And by bringing that team back, I also think, you know, because he talked about, yeah, I brought in some free agents, and things kind of changed while they were here, which I felt like he started to fall in love with those guys. So, David, I could be wrong, but to me, sounded like, as you like to call it, was it WBBT? So I think that's going to happen. I think the Detroit Pistons will keep it together, and they're going to run this thing back next year.
So they're every team in this town.
You're going to see minor changes, maybe a couple of fringe players like they did.
Yeah, no one cares. So that's
wow.
Rico, no one cares. Like, you could sign a zillion Fontecchios. See yourself out. So basically, we're WBBT City. Lions refuse to make the big move. Wings refuse to make the big move. Tigers tried.
I was about to say,
didn't
Detroit
execute
tried,
it. Tigers
and
tried.
And they were willing to even overpay.
And the Pistons, according to you, Evan, and David, are convinced, hey, Ron Holland will get a full summer to work out. Ausar, no blood clots. We're just going to keep the band together. David, do you agree with Rico? Explain that.
I don't agree.
You read something different into it?
Here's what I read into it. It's too early to know. That's what I read into it. We just finished the playoffs. I absolutely understand he had to speak. Yes, the season's over. Every GM should speak when the season is over. But I just didn't take anything from it. It's just too early to know anything on decision-wise. If they're going to trade for someone, if they're going to keep the young guys. I just don't think I learned anything today.
You know what? The only one I did not know about was Jaden Ivey. And Jaden Ivey, he said by his own admission, he was like, yeah, you know what? I left him out, and, you know, I left out a few other people. But he talked about all the other players, but Ivey was omitted. Ivey's the only one I don't know, David, because I don't know if Ivey's going to be a key part of this team or Ivey's going to be the chess move, the piece that they're going to try to bring in somebody else. He's the only one. He's like, hey, J.I.'s down working out right now. But other than that, what I gathered, they're going to run this back, and they think that they have something here, and I wouldn't expect no free agent move. If there's going to be a big move, it's going to come through a trade. He's like, hey, I don't know who the second scorer is going to be next year, and yeah, it's a good thing. Like, okay, wait a minute. What? Don't you want to know who? I mean, we all keep saying you need somebody to help out Cade, and you want to get somebody who you definitely know, yes, this person plus Cade equals a winning team, not, hey, man, it's going to be fun to figure out who's going to be the second leading scorer next year on this team.
Is there a question in here, or is this just like we're just going to keep it rolling? God, I want to know why this is this way. That's what I want. Why is this town this way? WBBT. Why? Why? That's what I'm more interested in. I'm not interested in going through the pablum of GM quotes. Why are we this way? Answer it. Someone. I don't care if you're on the road. I don't care if you're sitting in studio or behind the glass. I don't care if you're up on a roof. Why? Why will no team in this town take the swing?
Because you don't want the risk. You don't want to take the big risk, because if you take that risk,
oh, but
and
why?
It fails.
Oh, this is the hardest town in America, isn't it?
It's not. It's not, because this town, they value something rather than everything. And if you have something, I don't want to give up something and risk that I can get it all. I'd rather just be safe with the something.
No, you put your ass in the jackpot is what you do if you make the big move, because if it doesn't work out, then you look like an idiot. You don't want to do that. You don't want to put your job at risk. You don't want to put your reputation at risk based on making a big swing. I disagree with that line of thinking, because I think that's not how champions are made. Champions are made by doing those types of
okay,
things.
Okay, but Kenny, here's the thing. Here's what you haven't – there hasn't been a champion here in a long time. So –
because we behave like that. That's why there hasn't been a champion in Ohio.
Because this town, once you you'd rather have something than be irrelevant. Because every team that we've talked about at some point has been a joke. And once you start winning, you don't want to go back to that. So I'd rather play it safe and at least be relevant.
Can you name?
I'm not agreeing with this, Mike, before you say anything. Mm-hmm. Let me just cut you off right now because you're a little spicy. No, I'm not agreeing with that. But you wanted to know why this town is that way.
Well, then that's pathetic, and you never deserve to win a championship. I hope none of you win a thing then, because I can't name a single person who's been uber successful in business who had that mindset. Not one. I think it's absurd. All of this is absurd. If they want to, well, we're going to let it marinate. Why?
In business and in life, you have to take that swing.
Right.
No matter what you do in life, you have to make a big swing and bet on yourself.
Look at all of it. The Wings are in desperate need of a big swing. Now, I'd argue the Pistons, there's a power shift in the East. You and I have been talking about it all year. The East is in a complete transitionary period. Why not put your stamp on it? Make the Detroit Pistons the team of the next 5 years.
Yeah, right now there's three teams in the East. I think Cleveland, Orlando, and Indiana.
The Tigers' shot will come at the deadline. Because truthfully, they have to be a buyer. If this is who they are, you have to be the team to go out and make that type of move.
And the funny thing is, the irony to all of this is when the Wings were willing to go out there and do big things, they won cups. When the Pistons went out there and took a chance on Rasheed Wallace, it helped them get over the top to win a title. So, yes, that's how it's done, but they're scared. There's really no other way to put it. If I make this move and this move fails,
well, look at the Lions too.
I'm going to be attached to this. So I'd rather be relevant than be great.
I don't think they're scared. I think this town doesn't demand it. So when they don't demand it, there's no reason for the GM to strain themselves and go after big moves, because the fan base isn't going to say anything to them. They're just going to sit there and be like, oh, great. Lions won 15 games. Pistons made the playoffs. Tigers made the playoffs.
But David,
it's
only so much the fans can do. I mean, the only time I really saw the fans have an effect is when the Lions went 0-16 and they just said, enough of this. You got to get rid of this clown.
Yeah, but it's cultural. Like, I agree with you in the actuality. You're right, Rico. They don't get to walk into the office and press a big red button, the trade button. But what David is speaking of is there's a reason Philadelphia is Philadelphia, or Boston, or Chicago, or New York. Those towns are a certain way. So you're right. Fans don't have the actuality. But one thing's been proven. These teams do listen. I'm not going to get into specifics of how that's true. You just need to trust me. These teams listen. So the idea of fans voicing displeasure, you're right. But what does this town do? They fall in love with gym class heroes. Think about it.
No, no, no.
They fall in love with their own. And then anytime we try to bring up a trade, that dude's not good enough. What do you mean?
I like to call it the Brandon Inge factor.
Exactly. Like, I mean, we were talking about trade candidates for the Pistons, and everyone, that guy's not good. That guy's, fine, I'm going to get you Larry Bird in his prime. Is that what you want? Let me get you Larry Bird 1984. That's what I'm going to deliver to you. So I want to ask you guys the question, because I think all four teams are in the same spot. Different points of rebuild or their arc. Would anyone have said it was a bad idea for the Lions to make a big move this offseason? No, they chose not to. We'll see if they're right. The Tigers, they tried, didn't execute it. Wings, please. I mean, we're all dying for the Wings to do something, and they need to. There needs to be a jump start. For the Pistons, I think there's a lot of oxygen available in the Eastern Conference if they want to reach out and grab it. Reach out, breathe it in. But you got to make a move. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think a summer of a sore is going to turn him into a 38% three-point shooter.
No.
So I want to hear from you guys. Because my fascination is, with Trajan's comments, as Rico eloquently pointed out, it doesn't sound like. Now, again, is he going to pull his pants down at the podium and show you the world map? No, he's probably not. He's got to leave some fog right. of war. But I'm asking you guys, why are we this way in this town? Where seemingly these teams are reticent at best to make a bold move. 248-539-9797. Okay, even I think this is probably a little over the line there.
I mean, at this point, I'm ready to run out the tunnel and slap hands like, yes!
Oh, my dear God. Okay. All right, listen, Evan, you know what? Make sure we run it again tomorrow. But I'm not sure how comfortable I am with that, and that's me saying it. But if David and Rico aren't offended, I'll roll with it.
Who do you think gave him the critiques? Hey, he's from Chicago.
Non-denominational?
Both of us. Change the music. He's from Chicago.
So we've got three segments. We're not going to waste any time. Let's dig in.
Hi, guys. I'm here. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Mike, it's all on you.
No, because I want to involve the people in this. The headline would be Jason Tatum's a bitch. But if you want something more nuanced, here's my question. So the last two games for the Celtics are two of my top three in my lifetime worst playoff losses as a fan for the Boston Celtics. The other would be Game 7, 2010 Finals. Kendrick Perkins can't go because his knee ballooned up. And Ray Allen owed the Mafia money. Lose to the Lakers like 83-79. If Ray hits one shot, we win the title. I digress. You blow back-to-back 20-point leads, and your two stars who make a combined $95 million have a look on their face like they've both filled their diaper. I got nothing for you. But I started thinking about, okay, beyond, like, we're not in Boston. No one cares about what I would do or fine. We're sitting in Detroit, and we just had this conversation yesterday about how, man, I wish our GMs here would speak more about championships. And you know the type of fan I am. If you're not going to win the championship, there's going to be hell to pay.
Right.
Like, if the Celtics lose this series, oh, no, bet your ass. I want Joe Mazzulla fired, and I want one of the Jays, Tatum or Brown, launched into the sun, traded. Like, that is how this works. Because basically the Boston Celtics are turning into Rico's loser-ass Atlanta Braves, where they won 16 American NL East titles but won World Series. That's the Celtics. Tatum is a cupcake.
Why did I just take a stray?
Because it was warranted.
Okay.
Now listen.
You're hurt right
my,
now.
My question is this. Every fan has experienced what I've just experienced. But it's totally subjective what the composition of your worst singular playoff loss is. Now, it can be stylistically where you had a big lead and blew it. It could be what was on the line. Maybe you only believe in your mind it's qualified if it was in the championship round or game. For other people, it could be something first round, second round, but it's the way it happened, a bad break. I think of Kenny with puck luck. Hey, yeah, the puck went off a guy's sack, off the pipe. Not that one, but the actual where the goalie stands right. And then into the net. You know, for baseball, look at the Tigers. Fenway, security guard, Torrey Hunter. Wasn't the World Series. God-awful playoff loss. So I wanted to ask the people. Look, I can do whatever you want me to do, but I'm just very cutthroat about it. You know I've hated Jason Tatum for a long time. I think he's Charmin. And if I see another commercial with Superman in it, my head's going to explode. Along with, can we stop walking into the game with your son? No one cares. Send him to mommy. Daddy has to go to work now. I want to take Deuce Tatum and launch him on a SpaceX rocket. And I'll determine he gets to come back when the Celtics are up 3-2 in the series. Then Deuce gets to return to orbit.
You can't send a kid in orbit.
I can do whatever the F I want when I give you a max deal.
How in the world did Mikal Bridges just end the game on both your stars? That's the irony, like...
Because
he snatched it from Brown.
They are cupcakes.
And then
they
Tatum
are soft.
Goes in the air and is like, oh, where'd you come from? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because they are gummy bears. That's all they are. I mean, last year, yeah, they won the title. Tatum wasn't the best player in the finals, and the Celtics had an easy path. I've never hidden from that. And then we played Luka, where there are plumbers driving their van around Detroit right now at 206 that are in better physical condition than that kid. So now you come back this year and you tank two games up 20 at home, and I got to look at both their faces or blank stare idiots like they're NyQuil'd out of their mind. Yet one of you is getting traded. That's how this game works. So my question is, you, Kenny, David, and all of you in Detroit, what is the singular worst playoff loss of your life? Now, I could name 50 of them. I'm not going to do that because it's up to you guys. So like Rico, Kenny, David, I'll start with you guys. 248-539-9797. What is, or do you want time to think about this?
Oh, no.
Does something stand out for you?
I have a local one, and then there's Jaquiski Tart.
I want the one that resides where your heart used to be, and now it's filled with rotten organ matter.
It's just the one that I would always ask him if we ever did a podcast or anything. Rashid, why did you leave Robert Horry?
Big shot, Bob. The false double team.
Why?
Okay.
It's not like we don't call him Big Shot Bob. Like, what were you doing? Yeah, that one right there. That
I think a lot of people would share that. I believe it cost the Pistons a championship.
That was back to back.
And yes, they had opportunities, and yes, they blew game seven, but bottom line, it was over.
They would have never got to game seven.
It was over in that moment.
Yes.
So you're going Big Shot Bob.
Yeah.
Okay. Kenny, your singular, any sport, singular worst playoff loss that would compare to Jason Tatum filling his diaper in back-to-back games.
So, this might be a recency bias on my part. It probably is. And it likely the right answer is one of the hockey playoff losses, but recency bias, the Lions not going to the Super Bowl, the Niners game, it still sticks in my craw.
Essentially.
The second half of that football game, Vildor, and everybody knows the story. I'm not going to re-adjudicate it. I don't want to. But
you basically were still the Boston Celtics. You didn't blow a 20-point lead. You blew a 17-point lead. You gave up the ability to go up 20. Not that I'm bitter. And, yeah, you lose the right to go to a Super Bowl. I think it's not recency bias. No. Kenny, I'd argue, first of all, it was the biggest game for the Detroit Lions in 33 years at that point in time since the NFC title game, where, by the way, they were 17-point dogs against Washington at RFK.
That one, they had no shot. So this one, they actually had a chance, and they were winning. That Redskin team,
right,
man, it was
no one thought the Lions
hammer
were going
to win. Versus nail. Just put it like that.
All right, David, the Conclave. Your singular worst playoff loss that would compare to what I have just witnessed from the Celtics the last two nights, where now I'm not even angry. I simply want either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum's face in a different city next year.
I go back to 2013. The Detroit Tigers were up 1-0 in the series in the ALCS against the Boston Red Sox and went into the eighth inning up 5-1.
Uh-oh.
It looked great coming back home up 2-0. It looked amazing. And then David Ortiz decided to hit the grand slam, and one Boston cop decided to raise his hand. I wanted to not hit David Ortiz, but I wanted to hit that Boston cop. I wanted to knock him out.
You can't strike a police officer, David. I think
I was not going to Boston to do that. Yes. But that just, oh my gosh, that one right there. To this day.
Joaquin Benoit.
I
mentioned that the other day to David, and he really did get upset.
A lot. And again, these happen if you're a fan long enough. What's the reason you're not hearing chair smashes? Yes, it helps. My team won a championship last year. But I'm used to this with the Celtics. They've been the worst fourth quarter team all year. And Tatum and Brown, they're not killers. They're not. And look, I have friends back east who get mad at me because, you still hate Tatum? I'm like, yeah. Because in the big moments, he plays like a bitch.
Okay, but
he's soft. He's just not a killer.
I
can't make you the face of a franchise. Do you realize there are idiot Celtic fans who think he's a top 10 Celtic all time?
No, Mike.
Really?
Here's the thing. Here's where you are Kendrick Lamar. They not like you, okay? You are a unicorn. You, my friend, most people, when their team wins, you kind of, that's your guy. Okay, you may not put him on, but that's your guy. They're never your guy. Tatum, Eli Manning have won things for you. These are the teams that you rooted for all your life, and you hate them both.
Well, Tatum got carried to a championship, just like Eli. So they're actually the same person, except one uses their nostrils to breathe, the other's an open-mouth idiot.
So most people would say, he may not be everybody, but he won us something.
You ever see Fargo?
You don't give them credit for doing anything.
You ever see Fargo?
Yeah.
Wood chipper scene.
Okay. You don't. You're the one person, man. It's like...
Either Tatum or Brown goes in the wood chipper. I'm done. I'm out. One of them can't be in that town next year. Listen, it may work in a cute little town. Boston ain't putting up with that. This is the type of choke artistry you don't recover from. You got to blow it up.
Now, if they come back, then it's all's forgiven?
No, all's not forgiven because you stressed me out.
Still got it.
Inappropriate. Inappropriate? You upset my father? No, all is definitely not forgiven. Maybe if you won four straight. But if you get to a game seven and I got to like... hold my dad and make sure he's okay. No, you stressed me out. I'm angry at you.
Doesn't make it sweeter?
No. No, sweeter would have been a sweep and some rest. Now, I'm shopping Jason Tatum, and I want to know where I can send him.
Tatum, game-winning three.
Yeah, right.
Boston,
in what lifetime seven. Will he hit a game winner? Kobe will hit a game winner before him, and he's dead.
This is what I mean. You built different.
Okay, time
out. No. You're built different.
I know, but hold on, because I use facts. I'm not one of these fans who runs around grabbing their beanbag. Ready? Give me Jason Tatum's moment. I'll hang up and listen. Okay. No, take your effing time.
No, I'm...
The show doesn't go to break until you produce Tatum's moment. Okay. Go ahead. I'm such a bad guy.
I didn't say you were a bad guy. I said you're built different. That's not bad. That's just saying you're built different.
He's fake. He's a front runner.
Because the hate you have for I've heard this with Eli Manning, and I'm like, dude, won you two Super Bowls? Don't care. Man, okay. You hard on the people.
Because if you're going to be a legend and you're going to play underneath those banners, you know what? You live up to what's up there, not what's on that floor. Jason Tatum, if you talk to any of the old school Celtics, they'd look at this kid and they would snicker and go, bitch. He's not a killer.
No,
he's not a closer.
I can't see him on the same team as McHale.
They would have murdered him.
Bird.
No, please.
Like, son, you're going to step to the lane. You're just going to keep out shooting.
So what is your version of what I've just watched the Celtics do? In singular format, what is the worst playoff loss of your life as a fan? And I don't care what team it is. You might be an out-of-towner. No problem. I don't care what sport it is. I have one that I thought Rico would use, and he didn't. I'm going to ask you about it next. No smarm. I'm just going to ask.
Okay.
248-539-9797. We'll take you to Tiger Baseball, and I hope someone takes Tatum to a different town. All right, let's get to business. I guess it's how do I put this? The opinion we would do this whether the Tigers had just won three in a row or not, because you played the equivalent of like a CYO league team. So 22-13 or 25-13, it's all the same to me. Like beating up on the Rockies is whatever. So this topic plays even without that Rocky series. Now you handled your business, especially yesterday. It's very rare you're going to win a double dip 21-2 or whatever it was. The question is this, the level of belief in what you're watching. You know, it's a different way of doing what we did the other day, Rico, where look, I think they're a 90-win team. 90-72 is a hell of a nice record. You were like, no, I think I want to go higher. The question is, A, like they have the best run differential in baseball. I think they're plus 82.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere around there.
That's ridiculous. So my question is, I want to reverse engineer it. We all see what we're watching. Do you, the believability of this, is another way of asking you, do you believe, if you fully believe in what you're watching, do you believe they're the best team in the American League? Because if you're going to call the show and say, I fully believe in what I'm seeing, that means you believe you're gonna have the best record in the AL. You are going to be that one seed. Now, I'm not ready to go there yet. So the other thing I wanted to do is, look, level of believability in what you're watching, but what's the most unbelievable thing? What is the thing that's taking place right now with the Tigers that you believe in least? That's not negativity. It's a conversation about all of it can't be this good. And I don't want to start listing things because that'll take away the ammunition from you guys, the listener. I've got a couple of things. I have one thing in particular I think is completely unbelievable. But I'm going to, you know, I want to take our time with this. But what's your level of belief in what you've watched so far that through 38 games, are they the best team in the AL? And then what is the thing you believe in least that's happening right now with this team? And it could be anything. It can be not a side of the ball, but whether it's hitting, pitching, defense, it could be a player. It can be whatever you want it to be. So you want to start out there, Vacuum Seal? Is that what you want to do?
I look at this team. I don't think I'm quite ready to say they're the best team. I think they are one of the best. I'm not ready to say they are the best team in the American League.
Level of belief. Like if I asked you right now, okay, scale of 1 to 5, a 5 means they are the best team in the AL. 4 is you can see a pathway to it, but you're not quite ready.
4.
Oh, okay. We won't even get to 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
Noted.
4. 4. This is where, as you would like the all-star game. If we're still doing this, the all-star break, then I'm probably going to go to a 5 because I look at this pitching staff and even when the bats aren't there, you got the arms that can get you through some tough games, through some tough stretches. And with the staff that you have, you should be able to go out and win series. And yes, I understand you're not going to be playing the Colorado Rockies. I still can't believe they have 6 wins. I mean that blues, like, how are you a major league team? Like the White Sox are like, come on, man, pick it up. The level of disbelief that I have,
the thing that is just unsustainable. You don't believe in it.
Center field, Jahvir Bayes, like the way he's playing center field, not the bat. I mean, he's hitting. I know he can hit and he has streaks, but his fielding out in center field is, we're not talking Parker Meadows. It's almost like, Parker, you could take your time and let that nerve wake up because we got somebody in center field who's getting the job done. That's me.
Bay's the most unsustainable piece of it. Okay. David.
Center field Bay's.
What's the difference?
No,
so you're saying not second base, not third base.
I'm talking about just him out in center field, the way he's able to play out there. It's just like, is this for real? It's almost like a Disney movie.
No, it's not for me. It's not.
I'm expecting Danny Glover show up.
Yeah, I also do not believe that they are the best team in the AL. I'm at a 3. I'm just right there in the middle. I can waver as things change either way. But the thing that I just doesn't believe stays is Casey Mize. I just don't believe it because his strikeout rate hasn't really improved, like career-wise. It's around the same. And I just believe that hitters will come around and get him a little bit more than they have. I just don't believe that it continues with
Casey
Mize.
So the second go-round.
Correct.
Okay.
They get more tape on him, understand what he's doing a little bit different, understand what he's throwing more of, and they'll come around.
Here's the other one. Let me throw the number out. 248-539-9797. You do know that the other thing that could be lacking believability, there's been some erosion. There's been a little bit of a fall off with this player. Now, again, no one stat is what I care about. It's the overall.
Torque.
Do you think torque can sustain? The power's been there. And if he finishes the year with 35 or 40 home runs, I really don't care if he ends up, you know, hitting 240 or, you know, the OBP goes down and it's more towards 310 or 320. Torque would be one maybe other people view. I still, it's biased to me.
I can see the torque thing kind of like what Davis said. Because he changed some things up, the next time around when he plays the same teams over, yeah, they'll have different pitches that they're going to throw to him, and then you're going to see those numbers come off. I had no great expectations for him. So, therefore, I expected him to come closer to the meme and just kind of, yeah, you were never going to be as good as you started off.
Yeah, for me, it's just Baez is in his 30s. He's been a bum for a long time. I'm not buying. I'm just not buying he's going to have a 355 OBP. It's there's nothing in the profile that's, I mean, right now, Javi Baez would, if the season ended today, have posted his best season in history. No, I don't believe in that. Now, if it goes longer, it doesn't matter if I believe in it. You just go. Mm-hmm. And considering I didn't even want him on the damn team, he's already given you more in a month than I thought he'd give us in a year. So his value, it's already happened.
Brother, you weren't the only one. It was like, no, the Tigers brought him back. It's like, you're not serious about trying to win if you bring him back. Just buy him out.
Yeah, it's also going to be unsustainable. I mean, right now, 26 strikeouts, 4 walks, and you think you're really going to have a 355 OBP if I extrapolate those numbers over. Well, let me see how many at-bats he's got here. 110 at-bats. Yeah, if you think you're going to have 150 strikeouts and 20 or 150 strikeouts, 20 walks at the end of the year, and that's going to produce a 355 OBP, congrats, you're Ted Williams. Like, it's still the Baez thing, but the offset for that will be if and when Parker Meadows comes back. I can vaporize Javier Baez. So overall, I'm teetering between a 3 and a 4. I'm kind of at a 4 with the Tigers, is that, you know, I don't believe in my Yankees. I mean, Aaron Judge is hitting 450. The team's 500. I don't think we're very good. I don't trust anyone else in the Central. And when you go to the West, who am I supposed to care about? Seattle? I don't. Texas? Yeah, look, I understand they won the World Series. It's been a long time since then, and they stink again. You know, Houston, a little long in the tooth for me, and the pitching's not there. I'm probably at a 4 for believability. Kenny, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about the Javi Baez thing, because I'm with Rico in the fact that I don't know if that's the thing that can sustain. Because he went from being metrically one of the worst players in all of baseball, one of the worst position players in all of baseball last year, to now being above league average. He has a plus WAR. He has a plus OPS plus. It's above what we all expected, obviously, which was, like I said, above terrible. He's far above terrible now. And I think if he continues to play at this clip, which I don't think he's capable of, because I can't see that happening. But if he does, when we start getting more healthy, I don't see A.J. Hinch taking him out of the lineup. I don't see him vaporizing Javier Baez.
Well, he'll be vaporized in center.
Yeah, he'll be vaporized in center. Yes, he'll be vaporized.
Then he becomes a platoon at short.
Yep, you could put him at short. You could DH him. You could do whatever you like with
but
him.
But I just, the thing I believe in least, Baez, but the team overall, I can see a window to them being the best team in the AL.
So you don't see your Yankees waking up?
No. It's not about waking up. They don't have pitching. I mean, Gerrit Cole dying before the season, that'd be like Skubal dying.
Yeah.
How's your rotation going to look? Man. Then you factor in some of the other injuries and different things, and you look at it and you go, wait, Giancarlo Stanton's going to be out the whole year? Okay, now that's the equivalent of Riley Green being out for you. So you just, I don't think we're very good.
Right, and I think you just get seduced, not you, but it's the Yankees. So you just always figure the Yankees will make some type of trade, make some type of a move to always stay competitive.
248-539-9797. We'll get with you guys on this. What's the level of believability? They're sitting at 25-13. Do you believe they're the best team in the AL? Scale of 1 to 5. And what is the thing that while you're watching, you have the least faith in about this team? Best way to start it. As they kick off what's going to be a beautiful weekend of weather and people, human beings, actually in the ballpark, should be good viewing.